I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You are listening to Mist Apex iRacing Podcast. Let's get faster and spend all our money and get told off by our partners. I'm your host, Richard Spanners-Reddy. Welcome to the iRacing Podcast, the show where we look at things from a hobbyist point of view. So our participation point of view, rather than covering some major series. And somebody who has helped many people get faster is Dory. How's it going, Dory?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? That was quite a hello.
I'm good.
Happy days. How's your iRacing career treating you? Because last time you came on the show, you were having a bit of a, I'm going to call it a sad on. I don't know if that translates, but you were very upset with basically the whole F3 community, and you were doing videos on how to not be a moron, which were really good, actually. You were just showing being conservative, cutting through the field. Is iRacing treating you a bit better now?
Well, yeah, since I've gone off, I'm no longer doing F3s, so it's much better.
Have you completely abandoned F3? I know you're probably not the only one to have done that.
Unfortunately, I have. Here's the thing. F3s are probably one of the most fun you can have on iRacing. I've said this in my videos. They're really brilliant to drive, but the level of competition there is, yeah, it's not good most of the time.
So, as in driving standards, is what you're alluding to there?
Yeah. I mean, the participation is good, so you can always get good splits, but it's just that if you move down, for a guy who's usually leading the top five, top four, top three, and then to move down three or four positions below that, it's all of a sudden, it's like you're all of a sudden a different split, completely different behavior. Everything changes, and it's just carnage.
And we'll talk about where you've defected to, you traitor. It's interesting you're talking about the competition of it. Because it's popular, because there's high participation, I think it would probably be the second highest participation in the Road Series behind...
I think right now it's like fourth.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
There's new stuff coming around.
But we're used to, say, jumping in an F3 lobby and maybe there's five, six splits in the evening. And what that means is that you get closer races. You know, there's a closer gap in the field. And I find, as someone who builds up more iRating just from not crashing, is that I'm generally in a split where people are faster than me. So I spend the whole time like defending. There's like a spanners train. I'm defending my position the whole time. Recently, they went to Snetterton for the second round of the new season, which I think was a gigantic error because it's not a glamorous track. It's a paid track. And it's like people are going to look at that and go, oh, it's not very F3. So anyway, the participation was super low. And it was really interesting because you had people who literally don't know how to take a corner and aliens all in the same split. And I suppose that's very common for other series. But that does put me off. When I see low participation in a series, I think, oh, I'm just going to be in a massive spaced out grid. But I guess that's realistic. If you went down to your local club racing, you would have a massive gap in skills, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's really disheartening for the top guys. I can look from that perspective. The 3 to 7K iRating drivers, if they look at a split and the strength of field is 1,500, they'll be completely unmotivated to race, which will reduce participation even further. So, yeah, Snetterton, for example, it shouldn't be a paid track, should it? Yep. I mean, it should be a free track. Nobody's buying it. I mean, the people who did buy it only bought it because they wanted to do that particular series, not because they wanted to drive Snetterton.
No, we didn't want to at all. We bought it because we run a series alongside the Officials. Yeah, if it was a free track, I think, and some people were even suggesting, you know, it's a cynical move to put a paid track that hasn't already been bought by a lot of people into a popular series to kind of just to push sales. Because I guess they're always looking at the margins. What's left on the table? Oh, no one's bought Snetterton. If we put it in F3, at least some people will buy it.
Well, the way iRacing does things in terms of selecting new tracks for a season is they have certain tracks that if they appear a certain amount of times, they have to be excluded. And if certain tracks didn't appear for a certain amount of time, they have to be included. Right. And the rest of it is down to a vote. I don't know who voted for Snetterton, but I think it's just because nobody raced it for a real long time. So they had to put that in.
Yeah, they're maniacs. Okay. Anyway, when it comes to single-seaters, nearly all the single-seaters, I do love it when they are on Grand Prix tracks. So tracks I know off of the telly, past or future. And I think this week coming up for single-seaters, you've got all the single-seaters, 3.5 at Interlagos, I think F2.0 at Spa, and then the Suzuka for F3. So that's going to be a glorious week for me. I want to try and dive into some of those too. But again, it's the low participation. I tried the 3.5. It's a nice enough car to drive. Same with the McLaren, but too complicated for me. And I feel like the Formula Renault 2.0 is always going to spin and bite me. But yeah, I think the participation is the key thing for me. And you were telling me that where you've defected to is in fact the highest populated series in iRacing.
Yeah, and also the most supported. GT3s right now, they're getting tons and tons of updates for the tire model, the ABS and traction control models, and new cars all the time. There's going to be new vehicles, I think, next season as well. But there's been some talks about the new Lexus RCF or the old Lexus RCF coming in as a new car and the Acura NSX. So new cars all the time and better tire model, hopefully better damage model in the future. That will kind of guarantee this series is going to remain popular for a long time.
Okay, tell me the name of the series again.
Well, you have VRS Sprint, which is the 40 minutes race.
Yeah.
That has a fuel stop, and you have Fanatec GT3 Fixed, which is a 20-minute race with no fuel stop and a fixed setup.
Oh, okay. And which one's more popular out of those two? What do you prefer as well?
I prefer the Fixed. I think the Fixed is also more popular, but it depends on what track they're going to, because some tracks, the Fixed setup works better than the other, than the open setup. So sometimes you need an open setup for a certain track. If it's really hot, like Long Beach, it was impossible to drive on open setup. So everybody on fixed setup. So everybody were running the open setup. It really depends.
So is that new, the Fixed? Those fixed setups, because I remember on F3 at first the iRacing setups weren't very good, but now they've gotten a lot better. So is it a case of just they haven't quite figured it out yet?
Well, I think they're dialing it in definitely. Once the fixed series started last season and it was brilliant, really good, really successful, and now they've gone even further with really specific like. Just they made setups just for the fixed series. So the sprint setup now is completely different than the medium downforce setup that they used to have. And it's really good.
Okay. So
it's a lot of fun to drive.
Let's pretend that like you really miss me because, you know, we used to see each other sometimes in the F3 and you're like, oh no, Spanners, it's not the same without you. So you're convincing me to come over there. Is the driving standards then, is it actually better than F3 or is it just the fact that everyone's got a box around them?
Well, it's both. So in GT3s, the car, first of all, there's the issue of netcode. In open wheelers, the car's ability to change direction and brake very late is much higher. So the server doesn't always react in time and you get more netcode.
Right, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So in GT3s, it's less, it happens less often, way less. Like I rarely, I can't remember the last time I got netcoded. And in F3s, it was like almost every race.
Yeah, and even if you didn't get netcoded, that's the first, sorry, netcode. And it's like, no, it wasn't netcode. You plowed into me.
Yeah, just blame it on netcode and kill people.
So less of an issue in GT3.
Yeah, less netcode. And I find the top split to be a way more competitive, but I think second split is also really nice. So if you're in the 2000 I rating range, you really have a lot of really competitive guys around you. And it's a bit cleaner. It's a bit more respectful. And you have a box that can take a bit of damage and keep moving. You're not losing the wheel every time you tap someone. So okay. That's a huge advantage.
So my I rating at the moment is about 2,500. Because I've been not too shabby, eh?
Not at all.
The pace has been increasing for the F3 and single seaters in general. Really been working on the trail braking, and it sounds simple when you explain it, but applying that kind of trail braking, especially what you were talking about with the GT3s, where it's even more important to transfer weight. That's been the key thing. It was that conversation with you about transferring weight. And now whenever I'm breaking into a corner, I'm always thinking about where I want that weight to be. And I was racing against an old ghost. So I went to do Suzuka, and my all-time best is my old ghost from, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago. And it's really interesting to see every braking zone, my ghost car just flies past me. And is like braking in a straight line, and then I catch up with it somewhere in mid-corner because that ghost is really struggling. So anyway, I've been able to kind of get more consistent results, 2,500, because I want to be in the top split. So if I come over to GT3, the problem is, and this is why I feel like sports cars should be a different category. You know how like road and oval are different? Because yeah. I'm going to be terrible, but they're going to put me in the top splits. So that discourages me from going and doing it.
Well, if you log in at rush hour around about this time, there's a good chance you'll get second split because the participation is really high. You can get 4-5K strength of field in top split, so that will exclude any 2K driver. But yeah, I mean, it's best to get your ass kicked by good drivers than getting thrown into a wall by bad drivers, I would reckon. I guess it all depends on how much you can take, how much your ego can take, because I'm the same. Yeah. I was very much discouraged to switch series because I was always good at one. But I suppose it's just the way I did it, the way I transitioned it, it was very slow. So I would practice offline with GT3s while doing F3s for almost a season before I started going into races in GT3s.
But if they've separated those two things, if I could say, okay, I'm now a 1800 sports car guy, I definitely would go and enter that in a different, completely different mindset and go, right, now I can work my way up here. Like, I can't be the first person to have ever suggested that, but they've made the decision to keep them the same. And it just seems so odd. They're such different disciplines.
I completely agree. I've been saying that we need different I rating for different class cars all the time. The only thing that should transfer is your SR. So you if you're a clean driver, you should be clean on every series. It doesn't matter. But yeah, in terms of I rating, I think open wheelers should have their own, and sports cars should have their own, and prototypes where, you know, you can make some other cars within prototypes that, you know, should have their own I rating, and that'll kind of qualify things a little bit better.
So I've got to spend some I rating to get up to speed with the GT3s.
If you're in a strong field and you're somewhat competent, you don't have to be like super fast, but you're not crashing all the time, there's a good chance you lose very little, if any. So it's all about staying on track and just avoiding wrecks to maintain your I rating.
At Watkins Glen, I was in an evening race, so F3 Watkins Glen. In four splits, every single driver that finished on the lead lap scored positive I rating. That's how crashy it was, that all you had to do was stay on track and not crash, and you would get a positive I rating. But the plus side to this is, if I wasn't caring about my I rating, I'm only caring because I want to be running in the top splits now in F3, and I want to be comparing myself against the best guys. If I'm ever going to stream myself, it should be the top splits. No one's going to watch my stream of, oh, watch me in split three. So, but if I wasn't worried about that, actually you go, okay, well, I'll jump into GT3, and if I lose a bunch of I rating, I'm driving against easier drivers in both now, going backwards and forwards. So there is that element, and there's plenty of drivers when you, say, end up in, say, split three of any series, there's always still an alien in there. And that's probably someone who just does multi-series and is not so good at some other ones.
That's probably a Smurf.
Oh, in iRacing. Smurf?
Yeah, tons of Smurfs.
What's a Smurf?
A Smurf is an alt account that people start. Usually at around 4 or 5K iRating, people are afraid for the same reasons you mentioned. Yeah. They buy a separate account and they buy the content there and they fiddle around with it in series that they're not really familiar with. If you're in a 1.5K strength of field and there's this one guy who's 3 seconds faster than everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a Smurf. That's either a Smurf or a professional racing driver just getting into it.
Yeah, it could be.
Usually
that.
That's the case.
I mean, that's expensive, though. iRacing is not the cheapest of hobbies as it is. But I suppose if you had one account where you only bought sports cars and they tend to kind of be different tracks, there'll be a few tracks where you have to buy it on both.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very expensive. Some people spend $10,000 on their rig. So, if you spend $10,000 on a rig, what's another $500 for the sim, you know?
Looks over at my rig, not 10,000, but I'm glad my wife doesn't look at sim equipment and attach a value to it. I'll put it that way. So what is your Smurf account called?
Dorian Tabachnik 2. How original.
Oh, you actually do have one?
Of course I do. I never raced it. I bought it because they had a sale where you pay $20 and you get it for a year. You get a subscription for a year for $20. I was insane. I was like, I have to buy this. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but I'll just have it ready. And soon-ish, I'm going to start doing no quali runs at all. Oh, this will be an account where I will never qualify.
And you're going to stream that?
Yeah, I'm going to make videos about that.
So every single time, back of the grid.
Yeah, back of the grid. Doesn't matter which split, which car, doesn't matter which track. Even if it's impossible to overtake on, I don't care. I will never, ever qualify on that account.
So that sounds like the stream for me, because I have a tendency to not be able to qualify. The only qualifying that suits me is when we run our own series. We do open qualifying for, you tend to get in like 5 or 6 laps. And at that point, I tend to be able to string a lap together and show my potential. But you've got 2 laps to go, 2 hot laps by yourself, which is no fun. I like the open quali because there's like 50 cars all trying to qualify. It's chaos. It's amazing. I think this is exposed a weakness, which is as good as my ultimate pace is getting better, on cold tyres out the box, I'm awful. So I can never qualify. So I tend to be like your Smurf account, always starting from the back.
Yeah, qualifying is a separate entity in racing. You need to treat it as such. You're either practicing for a race or you're practicing for qualifying. Those are two completely different things. So getting used to cold tires, learning how to push cold tires. Like I've done an endurance race yesterday. We did VLN, the 4-hour Nürburgring race. And the one thing I practiced almost more than anything was coming out of the pits and pushing it 100% on cold tires, because with the new guitar model, it's very snappy. It's very hard to manage. So coming out of the pits, pushing it on cold tires for, 2-3 minutes at a time, then resetting, doing it again, and finding pace within, a bad car, so to speak.
So what do I do differently? I think I can competently get around a lap, but I need to improve this cold tire pace, which actually will help at the start of the actual race itself as well. I do notice that I tend to come back into a race and I tend to lose ground early on. So clearly my cold tire pace is an issue. Is there also a different mental approach to that push?
But repetition is key, I think. It's about how many times have you started with cold tires? Because I'm only guessing this, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you're comfortable, being a late bloomer and finding pace at a latter part of the race.
Oh, I thought you meant my life, because I'm 41. Okay, yeah. Yes, I'm a late bloomer in the race. Yes, that is true. I am, yeah.
Right. Because you know that about yourself and you're comfortable there, You're never having to push yourself out of your comfort zone and push on the first lap or two. So you don't have that experience.
No, I just survive and then I try and make it up.
Right. Well, in F3 is probably a smart idea anyways. But if you practice coming out of the pits or starting off the grid, you know, getting a good standing start and throwing the car around for a lap and then doing it again and again and again and again and again, you'll just get more comfortable. That's something you need to practice specifically.
All right. So I think I do spend nearly all my practice time just on a full tank. And then I have a race plan in my head. And I treat it like golf, where I don't know if you play much golf. No, you're not a golfer. But you can have basically, you can be a good golfer, but have blow up holes. And you duff one shot and then you're upset that the hole is ruined. So you end up taking a risk or a different shot instead of just playing the ball back on. You try and hit it through 10 trees and you end up having these holes where everything goes wrong. And actually, even though you played really well in the round, that par three is now a 8. You know, you took 8 shots to get to it. And I found I was doing the same thing actually in races, that I would make a mistake and I would compound it. I would kind of chase the mistake instead of going, oh, okay, you've overheated your tires. Just calm down. It's okay. That lap isn't ruined. Because you still need to, you know, do good corners, make good time. So I've started treating the race as a whole instead of kind of every lap going, oh, this has got to be the perfect lap. This has got to be the perfect lap. And just not get upset and just settle down and start again. Yeah. So that's my race plan. And I spend all my practice doing that rather than... I think that's a decent approach anyway. I think lots of people make a mistake and then go on tilt and exacerbate the mistakes.
Yeah. First of all, yeah, it's the first thing you want to do is complete the race. And the second thing you want to do is finish in a good position. So to finish in a good position, first you need to complete the race. So if you're the kind of guy that knows how to finish a race and you know how to get used to worn out tires and the lighter car and everything, now's the time to practice your starts. That's the secondary thing, to practice your starts and like that's one of my best features as a driver.
The starts.
I'm completely suicidal on first lap. I am utterly mad on cold tires.
Yep.
And I'm not as good on worn out tires. So a lot of drivers will overtake me at the latter part of the race. But I will send it 5 wide into T1 on every track coming off a standing start or a rolling start. I don't care. And that gives me a lot of good results just by itself, because a lot of times other people start fighting behind me and they lose pace. Mm. And by the time they start catching up, the race is over, because I do sprints, I do short races. And that gave me a lot of W's and a lot of podiums just by being utterly suicidal. And so it helps.
You're the hare and I'm the tortoise. That will be the title of today's show. Yeah. You've mentioned the new tire models there, and this is just for GT3 cars. So I never really have ever felt the difference when people have gone, oh, there's a new tire model for that car, and I get in and I'm nodding along like, oh yeah. Oh, yeah, these new tires there. And then I'm like, is that good or bad? Oh, yeah. I never really tend to notice. So, like, is it dramatic, the change in the tire model?
It is. Well, it is and it isn't. The car is still the same car, right? But, for example, the previous season, and it has been like that for a good while now, your fastest lap was your out lap. So as soon as you leave the pits, the tires have peaked.
Like the old MX-5. MX-5 used to be like that.
Yes, I think it still is, so but I'm not sure.
Your optimal lap was always unobtainable because it was your fastest sectors from your outlap.
Absolutely. You would get insane optimal times where you just cannot repeat it. Now you actually have cold tires. There's a point of warming them up and actually going quickly on your outlap just to get the car to warm up. And then you have one, well, it depends on the length of the track, obviously, but 1 to 3 good laps. And then deteriorates and holds for a good amount of time, which is, you know, more realistic. The way it used to be is fastest lap, out lap, and it's just going downhill from that point on. And it's no longer the case.
Okay, so that would used to have suited your manic early starts, I guess. But actually, now everyone else has lost grip comparatively.
Well, I'm still mental on first lap.
But now
I will not. Yeah. No brakes.
But now everyone has cold tyres and you think you're better comparatively than your peers on cold tyres. So you must have got an advantage from this tyre model.
I also practice it. And I mean, I always practice the starts, and it's really important for me to get a good start because I also have pretty bad concentration.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So I would think I would do, you know, I would do my taxes when I'm doing a race because I just can't focus on one thing. I'm either in a battle. If I'm in a battle in a really hairy situation, I'm perfectly focused. I'm driving way better.
Yeah.
If I'm just on my own, it's a hazard. I can just put myself in a wall. I can forget to brake. So, you know, I have to keep myself constantly engaged.
Do you chat normally when you're racing? Do you have a Discord?
I will have full on conversation. I'll have people with me in my Discord.
Yeah.
Or if I'm recording, I will just talk to the camera and, you know, just I would need that interaction or I'm going to sleep.
I was
going to
say we race Mondays and Wednesdays with a Discord chat on, and there's a lot of the guys who will say, oh, you know, I didn't realize, you know, we got to the end of the race because we've just been chatting away. But I had to make a bit of a rule, like, yeah, talk about what's going on in the race. That keeps people alert. Don't start telling me stories about the guy in Tesco's who stole the last strawberry and then you had a fight. So it's like, you keep it related to the race during the race. But it's amazing how many people like you appreciate having a voice and a chat or whatever going on.
It's the ADD thing.
Yeah, man.
It's just, you know.
Do a lot of content creators have ADD? Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Who would have thought?
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So we're talking about that new tyre model in the GT3.
There's also a cool thing with the new tyre model that the car is, well, the tyres are much easier on the limit. So it used to be a bit more on-off where you have grip and then you don't have it anymore and you lose it. Now the car will slide around a bit more. And that, you know, just catching the car is a lot easier. GT3s are really in the best place they've been. It's I wouldn't say it's brilliant, but it's much better. Much better.
I want to ask about how you change your driving then as the tire wears, because that'll be new for me. In F3, it takes 400 laps to warm the tires up, and then they last forever. Essentially, they last forever, those tires. And so that will be a big change for me. Big, heavy car. Trying to manage tire wear. I didn't do too badly, actually, when we did the 24-hour at Spa. The 24-hour Spa with the team. I was so scared of letting my team down. All I wanted to do was not crash, and I did manage to do my stints without crashing. So that's a good thing. But how do you change your approach and your driving as the tire starts to go? Is there a danger that I'm going to lose the car, or am I just going slower?
You are in danger. When the tires drop off, it's very easy to overdrive the car. You'll get a lot of snap oversteer on exits, a lot of understeer on entry if you keep driving the same way that you did when you had the tire in its optimal condition.
Well, sounds fun. You're really selling it. So I get three
good
laps.
It makes the race more interesting. It's not just more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. Now you have to adapt to something different.
Okay, so is it similar to driving on cold tires?
A bit. It's more predictable than cold tires.
Right.
So you can count on the car understeering a bit more rather than cold tires. Sometimes it will understeer because you've got the rears warmed up and the fronts aren't warmed up yet. Or, you know, and then you just get understeer. That's a bit unpredictable because you thought you warmed up the tires, but in fact, you haven't. So with cold tires, it's very different. One tire will warm up faster than the other, and then the characteristics of the car throughout the outlap will change dramatically.
God, I never think about any of that. I never think of the tires warming up differently, but
it's because you have a life, Spanners.
Maybe. I am a podcaster in a podcasting shed. So I'm starting to feel like maybe this might suit me because I always do better in an understeery car in general in the single seaters. And I think it's because... same with you as well. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the guys will complain about the understeer and they want a pointier car that's lively at the back. But I think it's because I'm like an old dad and it feels like my little people carrier with the kids in the back. But I don't mind kind of being a bit more patient on entry and prepping to get in and fighting to get it rotated a little bit. Whereas people do prefer just getting the back end out a bit and then slamming on the throttle, particularly in F3. Is that going to suit me when I come to GT3 to hang out with my best bud, Dory?
Well, it depends on which car you choose. That's the brilliant thing about
it. Okay, now we're into a minefield.
You have eight different cars. I mean, it's you basically can pick and choose the car that suits your driving style.
So I have I have a few tin tops that I've been bullied into buying. So for the Spa 24, we had the Lambo. I also have the you like it? That was a chef's kiss there from Dari. Yeah. Now I also have the Mercedes. That one, that's my favorite one. And also we have a Porsche RSR. Is that one of the GT3s?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I find the Porsche RSR to be pretty neutral and pretty just drivable. That's great. The Merc is nice and just heavy, and I feel like it suits. It's like a tank, and I feel like that suits my driving style. Where do you stand?
Well, it depends on whether you're going with fixed setup or open setup, because that can change car's behavior from one end to another. So let's talk about fixed for a second, because that's the one that's easier to get into. No fuel stops, 20-minute races.
Yeah, that's where I would start for sure.
Yeah, that's I'm meaning that. I think it's the best series on iRacing, but we can talk about that. Anyways, with the Mercedes, you get a lot of lift-off oversteer. A ton of it. So as soon as you lift off the throttle, the car will rotate as much as you tell it to.
Okay.
But even if you give it 10% throttle, it will immediately sink in and stabilize. So it's very understeery on power.
Okay. So right? Does that mean that we're having to be more careful in our braking phase and kind of set ourselves up a bit earlier and then be on the power and actively driving through a corner rather than driving into it?
Yeah, basically chuck it into the corner and save it with the throttle.
Okay, so nice.
You want to rotate the car. It doesn't matter if it's early or late. You want to over-rotate the car because that's what it'll want to do anyways. And then carry it, put the throttle, and it will just sink in.
Is that front-wheel drive, is it?
The Mercedes? No,
it's front-wheel drive. I don't know. No,
it's GT3s. They're all real-wheel drive. They're all real-wheel drive. What are you doing?
Okay. Well, it's good to know. I didn't know.
I'll this podcast.
I'm going to edit that out so I don't seem so stupid. No, all I was thinking was...
I don't F1 podcast.
Don't do a lot of sports car driving, but we had a sim event where we went to a live sim venue, and it was the only time I think that I've done a front-wheel drive car. I cannot remember what it was, but we were driving around Barcelona, and the difference being, like, if you got into trouble... in a corner, like the back end's going, you just absolutely nail the throttle and it kind of rescues you. So when you said you rescue yourself with a throttle, that's the memory it sparked off. But thank you for taking the opportunity to make me feel stupid. I'm going to start printing some of our WhatsApp.
I was about to say, to that end, you're absolutely right. Yeah. It's the same sort of idea.
Oh, okay.
So if the rear snaps on entry, you hold it with a bit of throttle and it will just sink in and you move the brake to the rear and the car is fine.
Okay, I'm going to start publishing our WhatsApp chats, by the way, which are just, by the way, unnecessarily aggressive. You have a strange WhatsApp tone. It's trying to be helpful.
Man asks me if I can tell the freaking time. I'm 34 years old, Spanners.
I was converting from Israel time to...
Yes, I'm aware you live in a different time zone.
I'm used to a lot of people all around the world who are like, well, you know, what? I just do UTC, and that annoys the Brits. Even when we're not on UTC, I still do UTC and people get wound up. But anyway, yeah, so we were picking our GT3. Okay, so look, I'm jumping in. It's going to be this 20-minute sprint. I like the sound of this. I like fixed. I think that's the way forward. I mean,
oh yeah,
I think that's the way forward. Just really work on the series, having good fixed setups and just jump in. I don't do iRacing to be a race engineer. And I think when it's fixed, I'm so much happier. So it's about picking a car, isn't it? We're picking the car at the moment. What do you drive? What do you go for?
Right now, I'm thinking about the Lambo, but it really depends on the track because the cars are very different, which is what's brilliant about this series.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You got the turbo cars. You got the Ferrari and the BMW, and they have turbochargers, and that means that in high altitude, they're going to be the OP vehicles, no matter what you do.
So seriously? So
Interlagos, Bathurst, Nürburgring, those are the things to drive. But, and if you have a lot of straight lines, then you want one of those cars as well, because they're just very fast in a straight line.
Is that difficult?
Very technical.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it difficult to manage it with the gearing? Like, you have to be much more aware of what gear you're in?
In technical circuits, yes. Because those really fast cars are also what makes them kind of tricky on slower tracks with more technical tracks. Like Hungaroring, I find the Audi and the Lamborghini to be much better. They just cope with the track way better because they're way more lively. They don't have as much power, but they change direction a lot easier. And, you know, that makes them more capable on that sort of track.
Yeah, I definitely found the Lamborghini was much more, much more light. It wanted to fight with you a little bit more than, say, the Mercedes.
I wouldn't pick it for Spa. You did a Spa with the Lambo.
We did, yeah.
I wouldn't pick it for Spa. I would definitely drive the BMW for Spa.
Okay.
Or the Mercedes, because they're fast in a straight line, they're good at high altitude, and they're just easy to drive and spy. You want that.
So we're looking at running an event, a charity event, because that's the kind of people we are. In December, we're going to do a 12-hour of Silverstone. We're going to broadcast it. We're going to try and attract the likes of you people in teams to enter teams. So just between you and me, we're going to do fixed setups as well, I think. But what car should I pick for Silverstone?
First of all, it should be multi-class.
We were thinking about this, but...
But a silly one at that.
A what?
A silly multi-class, something that you wouldn't see in
So Formula V, GT3, right. and rocket ships.
Oh, God.
So there we go.
No damage.
So we considered multi-class because I know people like multi-class racing, but if it's an invitational, which this mm-hmm. will be, then you're going to get such a spread of talent that you could end up like racing no one for 12 hours. So we decided to make it one class just so you're more likely to be in a fight, fighting for places throughout. That's up for debate, but we definitely wanted to go fixed because, again, we didn't want people to be race engineers. But we will GT3 so you can pick which car that you want to go with.
Oh, you're doing GT3s? That's interesting. That's pretty cool. I might even join up on that if I can find a teammate.
If you can find some friends. For 12
I
hours.
I don't have a lot.
You're more of a lone wolf, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not a very tolerable person, Piers.
Is it because your attitude is to be suicidal on the opening lap and over
it
time?
It could be why I'm not making friends on iRacing.
It's why
I'm not getting many DMs. Hey, I like your driving.
Yeah, can we be in a team, please, so that I can watch you crash and then not participate in
that? Hey, I barely crash. I rarely crash. I really rarely crash.
Okay, so interesting. This is a charity event, and... We discussed but rejected most of the things that you can do in like a charity karting event. Like you can buy grid positions or buy extra laps or stuff like that.
Positions.
You know, well, they do that in charity events. So to try and raise as much money as they can. But there's a new feature, which is the healing car. And I used it for my lad because he's 11. And actually his pace is getting up to scratch. I think he would not be the slowest person anymore on a Missed Apex event, which is a low bar. but he's there. But when he's doing practice, if you turn damage off, it can be unrealistic and like you don't know which curbs are hurting you, whatever. But this healing model seemed to work pretty well. You crash, you do the damage, but the car gets better.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So they basically did that so the physics won't break every time you crash.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to predict what's going to happen if you did this or that. And yeah, it's a really nice idea.
It's nice. And it's like, well, I don't know. I'm sure people will yell at me if I suggested doing that for an actual event.
I mean, there should be some fast repairs, maybe a couple.
Yes, fast repairs, yeah.
If you take damage, you should be penalized.
Hang on a minute. Is there some way to buy fast repairs? That's what you could do that. That's not a bad idea, is it?
$5 for a fast repair.
That'd be a really good way to raise money and only...
I don't think you can assign them individually, though.
There's got to be a way to manage that. But only the worst teams would be using those frequently, so it might not affect the battle too much up front. That might be actually a really good idea. Okay, I am getting tempted to jump in. If I'm going in with a 2,500 I rating, I'm going to be in one of the top two splits, so I need to practice before I jump into it. Where's it racing at the moment?
We're getting Hungaroring tomorrow.
I bet that suits the GT3s beautifully, that track.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a brilliant track. It really is fun. I did with the Porsche Cup, which is, by the way, the best car on iRacing right now, the new Porsche Cup.
Yeah.
Really recommend you give it a go.
Okay, hang on. Sorry, we've shifted tax a little bit. What is the Porsche Cup? That's a completely different series. What kind of cars are those?
All right, so there used to be the old Porsche Cup, which is it's basically a GT3 car with less aero and no ABS, no traction control, really scary to drive. It used to be, I used to hate it. A lot of people liked it because it's very rewarding to drive something that's difficult, but I didn't really like it. It was too difficult. It's like you're running on bicycle tires.
Okay.
The new one that just came out this season has more aero, better grip, better brakes, better front end. They switched the front end around, and you're running really close times with GT3s. You're not so far off, but it's still very engaging to drive because you're sliding around, you're locking up the tires. There's a bit more of that, and the force feedback is also pretty brilliant. So
oh, it's nine. Really it's 911s. Is it Porsche 911?
Oh yeah, yeah.
The okay.
Porsche 911 GT3 Cup. 992 is the model.
That's it. If my family ever leave me, I think that might be my choice of midlife crisis. That
Porsche. It's not a bad one.
Porsche 911, but they keep loving me and staying in the house. Stupid idiots. Okay, shame. So you think that's what makes it the best series in iRacing at the moment? It's a bold claim.
It's not the best series. It's the best car.
Oh, the best car. So
F3 is one of the best cars as well. But it's not the best series. The Porsche Cup is one of the best series, though. I think it is because they tend to be a bit cleaner there. You're fighting the car more than you're fighting other people. So people more focus on themselves and braking early and finding the apex. It's harder to drive. So it tends to be a bit cleaner, even cleaner than GT3s, and really good racing there. But just the competition is not all there. So it's rare to find 5-6K splits in there.
Oh, I see. Your dog in the background seems to not agree with that at all.
I apologize. No,
he's completely fine. So is the participation, you're saying the participation is lower in that series?
A bit, but it's really increasing right now. So, Wait, we're getting Nürburgring next week. It's probably going to have the highest participation.
Oh, really? Week. Okay. As in Nürburgring, as in the GP
track? 24-hour layout. So the Nordschleife with the Nürburgring GP, and that's... That's so much fun. I just did a few laps today. It's so much fun.
I don't have...
And the fixed setup.
Yeah.
The fixed series, they have a fixed series. And it has individual setups in the fixed series. Instead of one setup to fit them all, just like F3, you will have individual setups.
Oh, hang
that's
on.
Brilliant.
So you can have So you can pick from a few. Is that what it's... Is that?
You can pick one for each... There's a different one for each track. Which is the same with F3
yes,
fits.
Yes.
But like in GT3, you don't have that. You have one setup to fit all tracks, which is kind of a bummer because some tracks you need a completely different setup. But yeah, in the Porsche Cup, I'm thinking maybe you should consider jumping into Porsche Cup.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
The splits aren't as tough.
Yep.
It'll teach you to drive so much more, so much better. As a learner's car, and even though it's,
right.
it's I'm not saying you're learning how to drive. I'm just saying you want to get yourself into GTs.
Yes,
and it's a much better tool for the job.
It's a sexy looking car, and I am tempted to go and jump in. I tell you what, I might do is after our little swarm event tonight, because we do our own competition the Monday before. The official start, so we're doing F3 Suzuka and having a little competition there, and we score that league as well as we go through. But after that, I might jump in and give the 911 a shot. However, you've put me off with Nordschleife because I don't want to do it. It's too long. It looks too complicated. I'm never going to learn it. It seems stressful. I don't know why I would bother.
You can learn it. It's not the most difficult track in the world. I mean, it is, But
what? It's not the most difficult track in the world. No, it literally is. Okay.
It literally is.
They call it the green hell.
Yeah, but it's just, it's too fun, mate. It's too fun not to learn.
What is it on tonight, the 9/11?
Hungaroring.
Oh, okay, cool. I have that. I will do that on your recommendation. Dory, I think we're going to call it there because I want to keep these shows at like 40, 45 minutes so that my contributors don't get fed up and don't get in trouble with their spouses. Just before you go, remind me, what wheel are you on? What wheel are you rocking?
TSPC, Thrustmaster TSPC.
Okay, so very good wheel. Yeah. But you, I think it's a good wheel. That's what I've got here next to me. Certainly
it's decent, but we need direct drives, spanners.
But
I've driven like a good... I'm sorry, I'm going to extend this for a second. I've driven some direct drives in my day. None of them felt like I had to have it. But just a couple of weeks ago, I went to a friend's house. He's got like a $25,000 rig, motion, okay, triples, everything, right?
Right, before you carry on, this exact same thing happened to me literally last week. So carry on, we can compare.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he has a SEMA Cube 2 Pro, which is
exactly the same wheel as my friend.
Just the best wheel out there, pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll be exaggerating saying that. And I was driving around. It felt nice. It felt all right. A friend of mine who has one at home came in and he loaded a specific iRacing profile to it. And I was driving it and I wasn't doing anything, spanners. I wasn't even trying. I was driving. All I had to do is modulate the throttle. The wheel took care of everything. You literally could have not one arm, one finger, and it just takes care of everything. It saves the car. It straightens out the wheel.
It does save the car. It's amazing.
There is no effort. I could literally be doing advanced mathematics while driving with a SEMA Cube 2 Pro. So I need it in my life, spanners. I need that. I don't know where I'll find the money.
You've ruined this because my point was you are fast with a TSPC, therefore we don't need to worry about it. But I'm in the same boat as you. I think I talked about this last week, so I won't dwell on it. But I went around Bradfield Potts' house. He's got the SEMA Cube 2 Pro with a triple screens, absolutely amazing rig, hydraulic pedals. And you go, this, first of all, it feels
beautiful. He had hydraulic pedals as well.
It feels great. Well, we need to stop having friends who have all this equipment.
No, they have too much money.
Yeah, but I got into it. And yes, of course, you could save stuff. But immediately, you could just feel so much more on the track. So even mid-corner, you feel, I went in too hot or I had more there. And you feel that, which when I went back home, I now can no longer feel it. And I feel like I'm guessing going into the corners. But for me specifically, as someone with no racing experience, it was easily 0.4 for me in lap time gain. Obviously, I'm of a lower general standard than you, but with all that extra information, I could use it. Straight away went 0.4, and I was just like, oh my God, this is just gorgeous. I should not have come here. I must never come here again.
I think everyone will gain a few good tenths out of it. Everyone.
So my assertion that, hey, Dory's great with a TSPC, therefore you don't need a direct drive wheel.
You can be good on a pad. Yeah, absolutely. Could. If you're sitting there at home with a G27 feeling like you'll never be good because of it, that's not the case. You can play on a gamepad and get the 5K iRating confirmed by some people.
But the direct drive felt amazing. It was just so good. And it took quite a few sessions coming back home into the rig that I loved. Only just the day before.
It took me two days to enjoy driving again.
Yes, I'm glad.
I've been ruined by SEMA Cube.
Yeah.
By the way, remind me to send you my IRFFB settings. You'll love it.
I will do. I'll give that a try because that'll help save. In fact, why don't we kick off the next time you come and speak to me with this, because our community, a lot of people tried it. Some people are fanatics. Most people just rejected it after a few tries.
It's made by one guy. Mm. It's buggy as hell, but you need to work your way around it. And once you do, it's brilliant.
That'll be topic one next time you come back. You don't need a plug from us because you are basically part of the iRacing establishment now. But where can people go and find your stuff and what have you got planned?
Establishment. I love it.
iRacing are using your track guides. You're the man.
It's because they have no one else to use.
You're the man now. Where should people go?
Dory_N on YouTube.
Yeah, you've got a fantastic community, a great Discord as well. And I'm always bugging you to come and do the Missed Apex stuff, but you're far too big a deal to ever right, even bother. That's exactly. The problem. It's your celebrity. Excellent. Thank you. Go and give Dory a follow. Thank you very much for watching and listening to Missed Apex iRacing podcast. All I would ask is that you tell a couple of people wherever you talk about sim racing, wherever you have, even if you've got 10 followers or 1,000 followers, post a little link wherever you found this. Please go and share it. That would really help us, and it would encourage this kind of behavior. Sitting in a shed, grown men talking about pretend race cars. Encourage us to keep doing that. And you can follow me at Mr. Spanners Ready. And this show has an account at iRacing Podcast. Don't tell iRacing that we have that. Until next time, work hard, be kind, and have fun. This was iRacing Missed Apexy. Forgot the title of this show. I messed it up, Dory. I'll get the hang of it. I've only been doing podcasts for...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
8 years.
You'll get around to it.
It's only my actual job. Don't worry. No, kiddies. there isn't going to be any pudding today because Papa messed up the outro and it's terrible at his job. Oh, God.